This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله رحمة للعالمين وقدوة للمؤمنين ومحجة للسالكين وحجة للعباد أجمعين أنار الله به العقول وشرح به الصدور وفتح به أعينا عميا وآذانا صما وقلوبا غلفا اللهم اجزه خير ما جزيت نبيا عن أمته ورسولا عن دعوته ورسالته وصل اللهم وزد وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وعلى جميع من استن بسنته واقتفى بأثره إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله تعالى فإنه من يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب. All praise is due to Allah alone. In Him we seek aid and assistance, and to Him we turn both in repentance and for forgiveness. Truly, He whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can mislead, and He whom Allah leaves to go astray, there is none who can guide. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship save Allah alone, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is both His servant and His messenger. Our time in this life and our drive and purpose is to save ourselves from the hellfire and to enter ourselves into the paradise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever is drawn away from the hellfire and admitted into paradise, فَقَدْ فَازِ. These are the ones who have been successful. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. And the life of this world is only the enjoyment of delusion. And so real success, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts it, is the one who's drawn away from the hellfire and enters into paradise. One man once came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, كَيْفَ تَقُولُ فِي صَلَاتِكَ. What do you say in your prayers? And the man said, قَالَ أَقُولُ اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَسْأَلُكَ الْجَنَّةَ وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ النَّارِ. He said to the Prophet, all the dua that I make is I say, oh Allah, I ask you paradise and I seek your refuge from the hellfire. And then he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنِّي لَا أُحْسِنُ دَنْدَنَتَكَ وَلَا دَنْدَنَتَ مُعَاذٍ. He said, I'm not good at, dandana is like, literally means maybe like humming, but like the singing or the saying of praises. He said, I don't know how to say dua like you or Mu'adh. Meaning what he means by this is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Mu'adh are very beautiful, very eloquent in their dua. Their dua is very beautiful. When you hear the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it sounds beautiful, it has beautiful meaning. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam uses certain metaphors in his dua that are incredibly beautiful. He tells the Prophet, I don't know how to make dua like you or like Mu'adh. All I say is, oh Allah, enter me into paradise and take me away from the hellfire. Enter me into paradise, save me from the hellfire. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, قَالَ حَوَلَيْهَا نُدَنْدِنْ. He said, it's around these two ideas that all of our humming, all of our dua is around these two ideas that we are saying. And so the whole purpose of our life in this world is to save ourselves from the hellfire. And Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi wrote an article within Majmu' al-Fatawa, which is Asbab Daf' al-Uquba من العبد المذنب. The means of averting the punishment for the sinful servant. How does the sinful servant avert the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he mentions 10 points that allows the sinful person to avoid the punishment of Allah azza wa jal. The first point that he mentions is tawbah, to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of the best ways that we can avoid the punishment of the hellfire is to make tawbah to Allah. What does tawbah mean? Taba anab means to return back. Tawbah is to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And understanding this, we understand that when we sin, we're creating a distance between us and between Allah. Every time we sin, we're increasing the distance between us and between Allah. And so tawbah is to go back to Allah Azza wa Jal and to close the distance between us and between Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا. O you who believe, repent to Allah with a pure repentance, with a sincere repentance. عَسَى رَبُّكُمْ أَن يُكَفِّرَ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَيُدْخِلُكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. Perhaps your Lord will forgive your sins and enter you into paradise, underneath of it the rivers flow. Now realize in the Quran when Allah Azza wa Jalla says عَسَى, perhaps, if He says عَسَى about something positive, perhaps He will forgive your sins, perhaps you'll enter into Jannah. عَسَى about something positive means for sure. It does not mean perhaps, it means definitely. And when Allah says عَسَى about the punishment, that perhaps He will punish you, perhaps He will send you to the hellfire, it means maybe. It's up to Allah, maybe He will punish you, maybe He will not. This is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا. Repent to Allah with a sincere repentance, perhaps, i.e. for sure, Allah Azza wa Jalla will forgive your sins, expiate your sins, and enter you into paradise. And we know the beautiful example of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which he mentioned, that a man was wandering the desert with his camel, and his camel ran away from him. And on his camel is all of his supplies. On his camel is his water and his food and everything, his life. Now he's stranded in the desert. He's certainly going to die. And the man is so certain of his death that he digs his own grave, because he realizes he's going to die. Nobody's there to dig his grave. So he digs his own grave and he lays down inside of his grave, you know, believing in his certain death. And as he's laying down in his grave, he sees the camel has come back and is looking down on him. So he jumps up and he grabs the reins of the camel. Imagine, you thought your life was over, now you get a second chance at life. He grabs the reins of the camel and he's so ecstatic, so happy, so joyful about this fact that his life has come back to him. He wants to say, "Oh Allah, you are my Lord and I am your slave." But because of his excitement, he mixes up the words. He says, "Oh Allah, I am your Lord and you are my slave." But he doesn't intend this, he intends the opposite. But it's just out of his sheer happiness. Why does the Prophet ﷺ tell us this story? He says, Allah is more happy when a servant makes tawbah to Allah, when a servant returns to Allah, than that man was with the return of that camel. Subhanallah. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah wants, desires, wishes to accept your tawbah, to accept your repentance, to accept your return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, أَتَّائِبْ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ كَمَنْ لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ. The one who repents from his sin is like the one who has no sin. Right? It's not like when you commit this sin, khalas, you're forever tainted, there's no way back. No, the Prophet ﷺ is saying, when you repent from this sin, it is as if you are like the person who has never sinned at all. And so through tawbah is one of the strongest means for us to avert the punishment of the hellfire. The second point that he mentions is istighfar, seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now to a lot of people, tawbah and istighfar sound like the same thing. They sound like it's exactly the same thing. But it's not. Tawbah is a spiritual state of being. Tawbah is the status of the heart. The heart makes tawbah. The heart feels guilt about its action. The heart feels a longing to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Istighfar is when that feeling in the heart now translates into seeking forgiveness on your tongue. So when the tongue is seeking forgiveness, that's istighfar. And tawbah is what's inside of the heart. So even if the person were to say, Ya Tawwab, Tub alayhi, Oh Tawwab, Oh acceptor of repentance, accept my tawbah, that action would be istighfar, even though he's asking for Allah to accept his tawbah. But the feeling in the heart is actually tawbah. And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna tawbah min al-dhanbi al-nadam. Or another hadith, Inna tawbah huwa al-nadam. That tawbah, repentance, is regret. Nadam. What is regret? Regret is in the heart.
Right? So tawbah lies within our heart. And istighfar is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. That when that feeling in the heart starts to translate into our actions, translate upon our tongue, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Wallahi, by Allah, إِنِّي لَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ وَأَتُوبَ إِلَيْهِ فِي الْيَوْمِ أَكْثَرُ مِنْ 70 مَرَّةً The Prophet ﷺ said, By Allah, I seek the forgiveness of Allah and I make tawbah to Him more than 70 times every day. And if that's the Rasulullah ﷺ, then how often should we be making tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If the Prophet does 70 times in the day, are we even making istighfar to Allah 70 times in a month? And of the istighfar, and for us to think about is how important it is for us to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to ask Him. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we mentioned the hadith last week that Allah azza wa jalla says, I am too modest, I am too shy, astahi, from my servant raising their hands, calling upon me and for me to turn them away with nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His glory, His majesty, His generosity is too much that if you are asking Him, that He doesn't give you anything. So asking Allah, physically, on your tongue, speaking, making istighfar to Allah is incredibly important. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the hadith, أَذْنَبَ عَبْدُ ذَنْبًا فَقَالَ يَا رَبِّ إِنِّي يَا رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي ذَنْبِي A servant, the Prophet ﷺ says, a servant committed a sin. So he calls out to Allah, he says, Oh Allah, forgive my sin. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, My servant has sinned. أَذْنَبَ عَبْدِي ذَنْبًا فَعَلِمَ أَنَّ لَهُ رَبٌّ يَغْفِرُ الذَّنْبِ وَيَأْخُذْ بِالذَّنْبِ قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لِعَبْدِي Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, My servant knows that he has a Lord. My servant has sinned. But my servant knows that he has a Lord who forgives sins and punishes sins. So I have forgiven him. And then he sins again. And he says again, رَبِّ اغْفِرْنِي My Lord, forgive me. Makes istighfar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says again, My servant has sinned and he knows he has a Lord who forgives sins and punishes sins. I have forgiven him. He comes in and sins again. And he says, رَبِّ اغْفِرْنِي He says, Oh Allah, forgive me. And Allah says the same thing. My servant knows he has a Lord who forgives sins and punishes sins. I have forgiven him. And he continues upon this until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لِعَبْدِي فَلْيَفْعَلْ مَا شَاءَ I have forgiven my servant. I declare I have forgiven my servant. Let him do as he wills. And subhanAllah, the Sahaba, when they narrated this hadith, they said the man committed the same sin over and over and over and over again. And you think, subhanAllah, one of the biggest problems of sins, especially addictive sins, is that people think to themselves, because they keep doing the same mistake over and over, Allah will never forgive them. And this hadith is the person committing the same sin over and over, but because they keep making istighfar, Allah Azza wa Jalla continuously forgives them. And so this is the second point, to save ourselves from the hellfire by making constant istighfar. The third point that saves us from the hellfire is to do good deeds. And the good deeds that we do remove our sins. And we know that the story of the man who committed a sin and came to the Prophet ﷺ telling the Prophet he committed the sin. And the Prophet remained silent and Allah reveals the verse in the Quran, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ طَرَفَيَ النَّهَارِ وَزُلِفَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ ذَلِكَ ذِكْرَ لِلذَّاكِرِينَ Allah says, establish your salah towards the early in the morning and towards the night. إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ Good deeds remove the sins. Right? So the good deeds that we do erase our sins. And this hadith came down after the man prayed behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This ayah came down after the Prophet prayed, after the man prayed behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the ayah begins with aqimis salah, establish your salah, because salah is one of the most powerful ways, the most powerful good deeds that remove our sins. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave his companions the parable, ra'aytum in law anna nahran bi babi ahadikum. Have you considered if there was a river outside of the house of any of you? And you were to bathe in it 5 times a day, would there remain any filth upon you? They said, No, O Messenger of Allah. He said, That is prayer. Meaning every time we pray, every time we do this good deed, it's wiping away our sins. And the Prophet ﷺ mentions, you know, Ramadan to Ramadan. And he mentioned Salat al-Khams and Ramadan to Ramadan. And Jum'ah ila Jum'ah, kaffaratun lima baynahuma. And there's so many other mukaffarat al-dhunub, good deeds that remove our sins. That when you fulfill the rites of one Ramadan to another, it removes the sins between them. When you fulfill the rites of one Jum'ah to another, Allah removes the sins that are between them. When you fulfill your 5 daily prayers, Allah removes the sins between them. And so the good deeds that we do erase our sins, and therefore we should be constantly trying to remove our sins by doing good deeds to wipe out the evil that we have done. The fourth is to do dua or istighfar for people other than you, either by name, or sorry, the dua or the istighfar of people other than you for you. Forgive your sins. So when other people make dua, or they make istighfar, or they ask Allah for your forgiveness, this is one of the ways that we avoid the punishment of the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَ بِالْإِيمَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who came after them, and they made dua, and they said, our Lord, forgive our brothers who preceded us in faith. So they made dua for the generation of people before them, right? They asked Allah to forgive their sins. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith in Tabarani that Ubad ibn Islam had said, قَالَ سَمَعْتُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ مَنْ اسْتَغْفَرْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِكُلِّ مُؤْمِنَةٍ وَمُؤْمِنَةٍ حَسَنًا. Whoever makes istighfar for other believing men and believing women, Allah will write a good deed for every act of istighfar that he makes. And this is why we make istighfar for other Muslims. Allahumma اغْفِرْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَالْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ الْأَحْيَاءِ مِنْهُمْ وَالْأَمْوَاتِ. Right, we make this dua, even though this dua is not from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, there's no hadith about, you know, containing this dua. But we do it as a practice. Why? Because when you are making istighfar for other Muslims, inshallah there will be another generation making istighfar for us. When we pray for Allah to forgive the sins of other Muslims, inshallah there will be others who pray for our sins to be removed. And our Prophet ﷺ says, whoever prays for another Muslim, there is an angel that is there, and he is praying for you to have the same as you prayed for your brother or your sister in Islam. And so when we seek the forgiveness of others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send those who seek the forgiveness for us, inshallah. And that can be a means for us averting the pains of the hellfire. The fifth point that he mentions is the trials and difficulties and hardship of this dunya saves us as well from the hellfire. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا يُصِيبُ الْمُسْلِمِ مِنْ نَصَبٍ وَلَا وَصَبٍ وَلَا هَمٍّ وَلَا حَزْنٍ وَلَا أَذَى حَتَّى الشَّوْكَ يُشَاكِهَا إِلَّا كفر حتى شوك يشاكوها إلا كفر الله بها خطاياه. That he says that no fatigue or disease or sorrow or sadness or distress befalls a believer, even the thorn which pricks him, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes from it some of their sins. The hardship of this dunya, the difficulties of this dunya, is often a blessing, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes your sins by enduring that hardship and that difficulty. And somebody who gets goodness in this world while they're committing sins, the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, he said, if you see a man committing evil and the dunya is easy for him, he says, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهَا إِسْتِدْرَاج. Know that it is istidraj. What is istidraj? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fooling this person. Allah azza wa jalla is making their life easy so they don't wake up and they continue to commit sins and they don't realize the folly of their ways. Whereas when Allah gives us hardship, it purifies us. And Allah gives us hardship, it wakes us up. It makes us want to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next point that he mentions is عذاب القبر, the punishment of the grave. And obviously عذاب القبر is something all of us want to avoid, right? But he mentions it anyways, because عذاب القبر is something that, even though it is an evil, it can be a blessing for a person if it removes them from the punishment of the hellfire. And so even though it's a terrible torment, and we are instructed by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to save us from عذاب القبر, yet there will be people who deserve the hellfire, yet they're punished in the grave, and because of their punishment in the grave, they're not sent to the hellfire. And so can cause the person to be averted from the greater punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similar to this point, he mentions point number 7, is the punishment of the Day of Judgment. People will be punished on the Day of Judgment. We know, according to the hadith of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people will be suffering from the heat of the sun. Some people will be even drowning in their sweat on that day, and there are many punishments and fear that people will be feeling on the Day of Judgment. And again, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the standing on the Day of Judgment. We ask Allah to protect us in that moment of the Day of Judgment. Yet there will be people who deserve the hellfire, but because of the fear that they face on the Day of Judgment, Allah removes them from the hellfire. Allah averts them from the hellfire and brings them into paradise. And so these two points are not desirable for us. They are not things that we want, yet they might save a person from the hellfire. The eighth point that he mentions are the good deeds that will continue after we've left this world. So this is point number 8. So a son making dua for his father, or a daughter making dua for her mother, or someone who reads Quran on behalf of their parents or gifts it for them. And of course there's some issue of ikhtilaf about which good deeds we can do for those who have deceased. But this issue, someone who remembers you in dua, a friend who remembers you in dua after you've gone away, sadaqah, charity that you've given for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that continues. The Prophet said, when the servant of Adam dies, in qada amaluhu, his good deeds have come to an end. He said, illa thalath, except three things. Sadaqatun jariyah, the continuous charity. Aw ilmun yantafa' bi, or knowledge that he has given people that they are benefiting from. Aw waladun salihun yad'u lahu, or a good child who is praying for them. And so it is important for us in this world to do what we can so that even after we leave, we've left an investment of good deeds that are continuing even after we've gone on. That people will make dua for us because of the good things that we've done in their life. That we've taught people things that are beneficial, that they will benefit through their lives, and they will teach their children, and we will get that good deeds even after we've gone away. That we sponsor an orphan, we build a masjid, we build a school, that by doing this, we are establishing something, inshallah, that we will receive good deeds because of it, even after we've gone from this life. The ninth point that he mentions is the shafa'ah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The shafa'ah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You know, when I was a child and I went to Islamic school, and after every adhan, they would order us to make a dua. Allahumma rabba hadhihi ad-da'wati at-tamma was-salati al-qa'imah, ati Muhammad al-wasilata wal-fadila, wa ba'athu al-maqam al-mahmud alladhi wa'adta. Right? They would tell us to make this dua. And this dua, we're saying, oh Allah, you know, the Lord of the perfect call, ati Muhammad al-wasilata wal-fadila. Give Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the wasila, the intercession, and al-fadila, the excellency, wa ba'athu Allahumma maqam al-mahmud, and raise him up to the praiseworthy position. And as a child, I would think about this dua that they were making us say in school, and I would think to myself, why am I asking Allah to give the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the maqam al-mahmud? And Allah already said that He's going to give the Prophet maqam al-mahmud. Why am I asking for this when Allah already said this? And subhanAllah, I started to think to myself as I was getting older, that even though I'm asking Allah to give the Prophet something that Allah already said He's going to give the Prophet, the action of making this dua is doing what? It's making me affirm the position of the Prophet ﷺ. And it's making me love the Prophet ﷺ. And it's making me realize the station of the Prophet ﷺ over the rest of humanity, right? And then I heard the hadith of why we say this after the adhan. That the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man qalaha ba'da sami'a nida." That whoever says this dua after they hear the adhan, "Hallat lahu shafa'ati yawm al-qiyamah." They will have my intercession on the Day of Judgment. And so when you affirm your love for the Prophet ﷺ, and you realize the greatness of the Prophet ﷺ, you send salawat upon the Prophet ﷺ, these are means of allowing you to attain the intercession of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, خُيِّرْتُ بَيْنَ الشَّفَاعَةِ. He said, I was given the choice between either shafa'a, intercession, or that half of my ummah will enter paradise. Half of the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ would enter paradise, or the Prophet would be given shafa'ah. And the Prophet ﷺ said, I chose shafa'ah. Why? He said, because it is broader and it is greater, like more encompassing. That more people will enter Jannah because of the shafa'ah of the Prophet ﷺ than half of the ummah would have otherwise. Right? And this shows you how great it is. And then the Prophet ﷺ asked the companions, he says to them, أَتَرَوْنَهَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Do you think that my shafa'ah, my intercession is only for the muttaqeen, only for the people of taqwa? And then the Prophet ﷺ said, وَلَكِنَّهَا لِلْمُذْنِبِينَ الْخَاطِئِينَ الْمُتَلَوِّثِينَ. He said, rather it is for the impious, the sinful, the wrongdoing. SubhanAllah. And so the shafa'ah of the Prophet ﷺ is not only for the righteous people, but as long as we love the Prophet and we try to do good, we can attain the shafa'ah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَأَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ لَكُمْ وَلَكُمْ اسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala Rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. The final point that Ibn Taymiyyah mentions in this piece, the 10th point that allows us to avert the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the mercy of Allah azza wa jal. Meaning that there will be people who deserve the hellfire and who didn't do tawbah or istighfar, and still, because of the mercy of Allah azza wa jal, they will be saved from the hellfire. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna lillahi mi'ata rahmah," that belonging to Allah are 100 portions of mercy. And he said, "Anzalu minhuma rahmatan wahida." One portion of that mercy was sent down to this earth. He said, "Fabiha yata'ataf." Through it, all of us feel compassion. Any compassion in your heart, in my heart, in his heart, and every other person in the world, and every person who ever lived in this world, And not just people, but even the animals, the Prophet ﷺ says, even the creatures, the mother that feeds her child, all of the rahmah and all of those hearts put together, all of the rahmah that's come down on us in this world, the rahmah that you had a difficulty in your life and all of a sudden Allah made things easy. Every form of rahmah in this world, all of it was composed of one part of 100 parts of the mercy of Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ says, and he held back 99 for the Day of Judgment. So imagine how much mercy there will be on the Day of Judgment. How many people are not deserving of entering Jannah but will enter because of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. My mercy has encompassed all things. Nothing can be greater or grander than the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for you, because of this, we should ask for the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, beg for the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, because of how grand and great the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the punishment of the hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to avert His divine punishment in the grave and on the Day of Judgment and in the hellfire. Ameen. إِنَّ اللَّهُ مَلَائِكَتُهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا محمد اللهم صل على محمد ما ذكره الذاكرون الأبرار وصلي عليه ربنا ما تدوع مسه وفاح صلي عليه ربنا صلاة وسلاما دائمين إلى يوم الدين وعلى آله وأصحابه طيبين طاهرين وعلى أمهات المؤمنين وعلينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين اللهم لا تدع لنا في مقامنا هذا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا مبتلا إلا عافيته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك الرضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا قضيتها وسرتها برحمتك أرحم الراحمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأعلي بفضلك كلمة الحق والدين اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون عبد الله بن الصلاة